Did a great job today again. Thank you. Yeah. We want to give you an opportunity, if you've come this morning, to bring your tithes and offerings. There's a couple little black boxes in the back that on your way out you can drop those, your tithe and offering in there. Also, really want to give you an opportunity to bless our speaker. Our speaker for the Women's Conference, Vivian Hibbard, is here with us today, and she's going to bless us. I was able to sneak into the Women's Conference and sit in the back and listen to the messages, and I got blessed right along with the women. So that was good. I thought about wearing my wig, you know, put on a little makeup, but they let me in anyway. So you're going to get blessed today, and I want to give you an opportunity to sow into her ministry financially. Come all the way from the East Coast to be with us here. And I always feel like if somebody comes and brings a spiritual deposit, then we ought to put a financial deposit in their life to keep them going in their ministry. So if you want to do that, if you're writing a check, just make it out to Speaker. I think there's a way to give digitally. I don't know if that slide is available. And Diane, if they give digitally, how do they give to Vivian? Guest speaker. There's guest speaker. If you're giving digitally, you can just check that. And just pray and ask the Lord what he would have you do, what you'd have you give. We can't outgive God, right? You know, what we give is not a debt we owe. It's a seed that we sow that's going to come back and bring a harvest to us. Amen. Well, it is a privilege to have Vivian with us this morning. She's been here numerous times. We were talking about that last night, wondering when the first time was. It was sometime back in the 80s. When she was here. And she's been here several times and been a blessing to us. Vivian is an author. She's written a book on worship and other books as well. She is a speaker. She's traveled internationally just bringing the word of God. She is a worship leader. She has been involved in worship leading for many, many years. Also a musician, and she's going to play some of her instruments here today. And she's also started a worship academy where she is training the next generation of worship leaders and worshipers. How many know, you know, the ones that have the anointing and the experience, they need to pass that on to the next generation, and that's exactly what she is doing. So, Vivian, it is a pleasure to have you come and share your heart with us. Just give her a warm covenant welcome this morning.
Thank you so much, Pastors David and Bobby. It's been such a joy to be here. I thank you to all the ladies who worked so hard to make that conference and that time together so special. And again, the men, I was amazed at the spread. Wow. And I also want to thank Jerry and Linda. I told Bobby this morning, I've been in many homes all around the world, and their one tops it all, because they're just so precious, and they've been taking care of me every day. Hallelujah. And they've got a little dog called Annie, who is the icing on the top. She's precious. So before I begin this morning, I wanted to just play over you. Sometimes we play music to the Lord and we sing to him, and then sometimes he wants to sing back to us. And the way he sings back to us sometimes is with a song. He actually sings through the singers, and sometimes he plays through the musicians. And so I'm just going to play over you from him. And I'm going to start with this instrument. I've played it one other time in a church. So it's an ancient instrument. It's called a duduk, and it's from Armenia. And it's very temperamental, so I just have to get it started. It's like a child. You have to kind of... But it's got an ancient sound. It's a little bit like a saxophone, but you'll hear this instrument on movies like The Gladiator, and you'll hear real duduk players. I'm just a beginning duduk player. But so it's a different kind of instrument, and I look for instruments from around the world that have the sound of God. Sometimes there's a special quality, there's a sound. And this is the sound of the cry of the Armenian people, but not only them, for all of us. It represents the cry. And then I'm play an Irish flute. And so what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be lifting your cry to the Lord on this instrument. Some of you need healing, some of you need comfort, some of you need sorting out. Some of you need, sometimes we're desperate for God, and this is the cry of his people. And then this, I'm going to be playing off of a CD that I did with some musicians in Norway. And we're playing a song that just came in the studio while we were just playing together. So there's nothing rehearsed. And it's called Joy Comes in the Morning. And it's the songs that God sings. It's a song, it's a CD called The Songs from the Father's Heart, where he sings, and he sings over you, and he's going to bring joy in the morning. So this is the sound of Ireland and the sound of ancient people. This instrument's been around since Jesus was on the earth. So he may have heard this instrument. Hallelujah. So we'll give it a go here. Those are how I pray. That's the sound of prayer. So I'm praying for you that the morning will break forth, that joy will come. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a privilege to be with you, and I've loved this church for so many years, and I'm so glad to be here. Hallelujah. This morning we're going to be talking about King Solomon and how he had a heart for worship. Can you all say heart?
Heart.
Heart, that's right. It's not heart, it's heart.
Heart.
He had a heart for worship. And we're going to look, he had seven steps, of course. And these are all taken, you can go to the next slide. These are all taken from the book of 2 Chronicles, the first seven chapters of the book of 2 Chronicles. These are not photos of him. They hadn't invented photography yet. But anyway, so we're going to look at the seven steps that happened. And basically what happens, you're going to see what happens, just some little ideas that come out of these first chapters, is that he had a heart for worship, and so he built an altar. And he put his offering on the altar, but he kept offering bigger and bigger offerings. So he had to build bigger and bigger altars. And so the challenge for us all today is that we would not only extend our heart, our love, our devotion for God, but that we would build bigger altars or opportunities to be with him.
Yeah.
That we would build that, because God is going to be doing something in the Dells in the years to come. And so we need the fire of God to fall. So we're going to look and see. We're going to see what happened with Solomon and how God responded. So if we go to the next slide, please. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings. What an incredible thing. These are not just little Kentucky chickens. These are huge, big beasts that he's offering. And generally speaking, when you brought your offering, you had to stay for the whole time that it's burning. So imagine 1,000. So we're going to call that a lavish offering. Don't you think this is the equivalent of us saying, I love you, Lord. I bless you, Lord, 1,000 times. That's what that's equivalent of. That's your offering as believers. Our offering comes out of our mouths. So he offered these on the altar that came from Moses' time. For you musicians and singers, Bezalel in Exodus 31, he is the first person in the whole Bible that was filled with the Spirit. And he was a craftsman. He was an artist. His name means under the shadow of God. So if you are a musician or a singer, a minister in worship, you've got to stay close to God. You've got to be so close, you've got to be close when you're in somebody's shadow. So he's under the shadow of God. So he built that. Okay, the next slide. So he built a new altar. So Bezalel's altar wasn't big enough. So he built a new one. I put it in feet. How many feet is 37 feet? I know some of you men know that immediately. How big is 37 feet? Like, from here to where? Some you men, here to the wall? 37 feet from here to the wall. So he's saying, I need a bigger altar because the normal one's not, normal is not what we need in this day. We need bigger altars. And this means the space that you give God in your life, the bigger space. So here he goes. He's building a new altar. And then the next slide, let's look and see what his offering was now. Oh, now he expanded his heart and he made a more lavish offering. So now whoever's chronicling what Solomon's doing couldn't even count. It says in 2 Chronicles 5:6 that he's giving an offering that couldn't be counted or numbered. So they could count to 1,000, and then they didn't figure out how they could go any further. and he's offering untold offerings. Let's have a look what happens next. God's response. When the priest was sanctified, and the singers and the musicians played in unity, the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. This is what happens when you extend your altar. God comes. See, the thing is that God comes to us, and when we worship, here's your worship going up to God, and then God loves to be seated in praises. That's his favorite place to be seated. He's seated on his throne. He sits in the flood. You'll find him in the wilderness. You'll find him on mountains. You'll find him in the valleys. You'll find him in fire. He goes in fire. He comes in the rain. But his favorite place to be is in the praise. So when you praise, even if you're not a singer, when you lift up your voice to God, God comes and he sits here. He's enthroned here. So he breaks in on us, but we're talking about how we can break in on him. And I tell him all the time, I'm coming. I'm coming, I'm breaking in on you. Because the Bible says, come boldly to the throne. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. So here we come. We're breaking in on him. But look what he does. He comes with a cloud. And the priest couldn't continue ministering because the glory of the Lord filled the house. For us, who's the priests? Oh, I thought it was Pastor David and Pastor Bob. No? Okay, so we're all the priests. So we better start behaving like priests. Sometimes we behave like an audience when we come to church. And we think that if it's too loud or it goes too long or you don't like that song or it's too hot or it's too cold, Or the children are running around. You don't want to. I'm not worshiping today. I don't like that song. I don't like what that singer's wearing. And here we go. We're a consumer society. We go to McDonald's and we expect what we order to be in the bag. Half the time it's not. And so, you know, we want what we've ordered, and we've ordered God. We want to come to church, sing pretty songs, hear a nice sermon, and sit down and pay our tithes and go home. But you've got work to do when you come. If you're a priest, you've got work to do. It's your responsibility. First responsibility of the priest is to carry the Ark of the Covenant. What's the Ark of the Covenant? It's the presence. Who brings the presence to church? The priests, you don't come to church to get the presence of God. You come to church carrying the presence of God. And if we will do that, this is what happens. This is what happens when the priests bring the presence. The priests couldn't even continue ministering because the glory filled the house. So there's times that he slams us. And this is a slamming from God right here. We're on the floor. We can't speak. He strikes us dumb sometimes. I've been in services where I'm going to climb under the chairs to get away. His presence was so heavy. And that's what we need today. We need a revival. This is a revival of worship in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide. Okay, so he offered 1,000 burnt offerings, and he offered more than could be numbered. So now he's having to build a bigger altar. So he actually builds a platform for himself, a blank bronze platform, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide. I put it in the cubits, and I put what the feet are with that one. But it's interesting because it's five. Five is grace. He's actually kneeling on grace. Hallelujah. So there he is, kneeling on grace, and he stood on it, and he knelt down before the whole. So now he's putting himself on the altar. Hallelujah. He's put himself on the altar. Forget the more than can be counted. It was 1,000 and more than can be counted. And now he says, okay, I'm the sacrifice. Hallelujah. I'm the sacrifice. And so Paul speaks of us being a living sacrifice. So this is a new kind of offering. This is the most lavish offering that you can make, is when you become the sacrifice. This is a new kind of offering. The word sacrifice is the Hebrew word korban, and it comes from a root word that means to draw close. When you bring your sacrifice to the Lord, then those help you to come close to God. That's why it says you enter his gates with the sacrifice of thanksgiving. You come into his courts with the sacrifice of praise. So if you go to the next group of slides, these are the list of seven. I've always got to give you seven of something. Here's the seven spiritual sacrifices that are found in the Bible. Seven spiritual sacrifices. This is your work. When you come to church, yeah, you can take a picture of it. This is your work. You have to bring the sacrifice of joy, which basically means shouting. That's basically what the sacrifice of joy means. It means shouting. So it's like, oh, Father, I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Wonder what we're having for lunch. Yes, thank you, Jesus. No, this is raucous. It starts off, pray. This is the first one mentioned in the Bible. The sacrifice of a broken spirit. This is when you've walked through stuff, and all of you walk through stuff. But he wants us to walk through stuff and be broken, not destroyed, but have a broken heart like David. This is David who wrote about this one, Psalm 51. A broken spirit. It means you walk through stuff and you find God and you're never the same. You can go through stuff and come out bitter, or you can come out broken. And broken in this context does not mean destroyed. It means crushed so finely that you never can be put back the same way again. It actually comes from a root Hebrew word where the child breaks out of the womb. It means something of God is birthed in you when you walk in brokenness. It might come from stuff that your choices that you made yourself, where you've made wrong choices. David made wrong choices, but he had the right response to his wrong choices. And it made all the difference. There's people that make wrong choices, and they stay in their stuff, and they die in it. And they're bitter their whole lives. But David turned his heart to God and repented and became a man after God's heart. I think David's one of the greatest sinners in the Bible, because he committed murder and adultery, and yet he was the greatest lover of God. What an incredible thing. So it doesn't matter how naughty any of you have been. It doesn't matter how naughty any of you have been. If you have a heart like David and like Solomon here, then he will receive you and forgive you, and you can be made whole, and you will not lose your destiny and your calling in him. Hallelujah. Sacrifice of righteousness is when we choose to do right. When other young people are going off and doing this, that, and the next thing, you say, I cannot. Right. I cannot. You don't have to go the way of the world. Right. You go the way of God. You live a righteous life. Hallelujah. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. That, and the sacrifice of praise, both of those words mean so much is coming out of your mouth that you sound like a choir all by yourself. Sometimes we go, well, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. But no, this is, I praise you, Lord. I exalt you. You are above all. There is none like you in all the earth. Father, I cannot stop. And you shouldn't, at the end of a song, you don't even need to stop. Who says we need to stop? We can keep going. Who needs to start when the music starts? We could start before then. We could have our own little choir going on in here before the worship even starts, before they play a note. You could be lifting up your hands and giving glory to God. Coming out of your mouth is the stream. If you want to extend your praise language, go and look at, I think it's Psalm 145. It's a great, I will exalt the Lord, my God, my King. I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty. When have you ever meditated on the glorious splendor of his majesty and on your wondrous works? Men will speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness, and they will utter the memory of your greatness. And it goes on and on. Talk like that. Read it. Stand in the house of the Lord before the musicians ever get up here and begin to read the praise. This is a praise of David. David wrote that. So the sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, that's what that is. Then the sacrifice of doing good, the New Testament, there's two. Back in the Jesus days, we used to call this koinonia. The Greek word is koinonia. It means taking care of one another. Jerry and Linda are excellent at koinonia. They share what they have with beauty and generosity and kindness and... When you take care, when you see an older person and they need their lawns done, you don't have to ask, just go and cut their lawns. When you see a young person that's straying from God, don't waggle your finger at them and their parents. You go and find that teenager, that young person who's having a crisis of faith, and take them to a movie or take them to a ball game or take them for ice cream. But you take care of one another. That is the sacrifice of doing good or sharing or koinonia. Hallelujah. And the final one is a combination of them all. This is what Solomon was doing. This is the greatest sacrifice of them all. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. We're the living dead, because all sacrifices have to die. All sacrifice involves death. Back in the Old Testament times, the shepherd took a lamb, and the lamb died for the shepherd. But in our day, the shepherd died for the lambs. He died for us. And so we get to offer the sacrifice of our bodies as a living sacrifice. We're the living dead. They made a movie, The Walking Living Dead or something like that. I don't see horror movies, but we are the true living dead on the earth. We're alive, and yet we're dead. Hallelujah. We are alive in Christ and dead to self. So next slide. Hallelujah. This is truly how it works. God answered with revival fire that came down from heaven. This is the most incredible thing. First he came with smoke and then he came from fire. Normally fire goes up, but on this occasion when Solomon offered the sacrifice of himself, the living sacrifice, he saw the fire come down from heaven. There's seven times in the Bible when fire comes down. One of them, you'll know, when Elijah came against the prophets of Baal and the fire came down. It happened with David. It happened in the book of Acts when the believers were there and the fire came in. Always on a prepared sacrifice. So you prepare your sacrifice. You come in here and you bring the sacrifice of joy and thanksgiving and praise. As you prepare your sacrifice, God responds to sacrifice. It draws you near to him, but it brings him near to you. So you prepare your sacrifice. The next, here's the scripture, 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. Seven principles of revival right there in that one scripture. Hallelujah. Just go back and we'll read the scripture together. Everyone read the scripture. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Some translations say the glory filled the whole house. Here's quickly the seven principles of revival. Let's go. Next one, prayer. You can take a photo of this as well. These are the seven principles of revival. Prayer is the preparation for revival. It says, when Solomon finished praying, revival doesn't come till you finish praying. When do you finish praying? When revival comes. Okay, so prayer is the preparation for revival. Fire is the nature of revival. That's what revival will do. Heaven is the origin of revival. It comes from heaven. You can't make revival up. We can't do it. We can't just say, okay, let's have a revival. I know that that's a concept in America. When I came to America and churches would say, we're having revival from this Saturday to this Sunday or whatever. And they put it, that what they mean is they're having special meetings. For what we're talking about, revival means that God has come. The cloud and the fire and the angels and the visitation and the miracles and the glory. That's what we're talking about. And it might come today. It might come tomorrow. It might come in your house. Let it be in our hearts a revival. Let us not have Christianity without revival. Let us not have Christianity without fire. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're older. I don't care if you're sick. Your cry needs to be for revival. That we have the reality of the glory and the presence of God among us. Hallelujah. So prayer, heaven is the origin. To be consumed is the cost of revival. He wants all of you because we're the burnt offering. Remember, we were offering bulls and all of that. Solomon did, and then he put himself. So that's us. We're the burnt offering. And to be consumed is the cost, but the burnt offering is the fuel for revival. The glory is the product of revival. When I said yesterday to the lady, the glory of the Lord is the invasion of the reality of God into the human sphere. The glory is the invasion of God into this, into your home, into your work, into you in the car. That's what the glory of God is. Hallelujah. So glory is the product of revival, and the whole house is the extent of revival. He wants to touch the whole house. He wants the Baptists. He wants the Salvation Army, the whole house of God. He wants them all. He wants the Methodists, glory to God, and the Presbyterians. Oh, my gosh. Hallelujah. I was raised a Presbyterian. You're going to touch the Presbyterians. Praise the Lord. Fire comes down on prepared sacrifices. Let's go to the next one. When fire falls, it's always on prepared hearts and altars. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next one. I love this psalm. Praise God. At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. That's from the Passion Translation. Doesn't sound like that in the King James, but it's absolutely beautiful in the Passion Translation. Everybody, just look at it again. Read those lines. At each and every sunrise you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. Imagine if we did that every day. Wait for God to fall upon the pieces of our heart that we lay on the altar. Okay, so that was all just a side thing. Now we're coming to point number six, Solomon's sixth step. Let's go. His sixth step. There we go. He offered 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. You thought he was offering a big amount at 1,000. Now it's saying he's offering 22,000 and 120,000 sheep. I mean, it's unbelievable. This guy wanted God. Because each of these is bringing you closer to God. That's what these are for, that are bring you close to God. So when you offer your sacrifices, you need to remember those seven sacrifices. You need to have a photo of that one. So you, when you come to church, sacrifice of joy, sacrifice of a broken spirit, sacrifice of righteousness, sacrifice of praise, sacrifice of thanksgiving, sacrifice of doing good, the sacrifice of my body is a living sacrifice. You've got to have those seven. Memorize them. So when you come to church, you can see which one do you want, Father? And I'll give you 1,000 of those. I've been having a hard time this week, so 1,000 times I'm going to enter in and say I'm the sacrifice of a broken spirit. Give me a broken spirit in the midst of my nonsense and my junk. Yeah. Whatever somebody's done to me or whatever I've done to myself, Father, let me have a broken heart. I'm going to bring it to you 1,000 times, 1,000 times, 1,000 times. So Solomon wanted God. It was another lavish offering. Okay, keep going. Let's see what happens next. The Lord's response. Oh, no, that's number seven step. He took the whole of the middle of the temple that he had built. He now says, okay, I can't do this. He had Bezalel's altar. He made a bigger altar from here to there. Then he made an altar where he put himself on the altar. Now he says, okay, the whole of the middle is now the altar. The whole of the temple is the altar. The whole of the temple is the altar. Yeah. Hallelujah. So now, the bronze, it says in the word that the bronze altar that Solomon made was not big enough. He says, what I am doing, the place and space I've prepared for you is not big enough. So I'm going to make the whole thing the altar. Everything. So then let's look at the next one. So God's response, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The Lord chose the temple for himself as a house of sacrifice and promised that his eyes and heart would be there perpetually. And then that wonderful prayer that we know. Go to the next one. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now it's going to go out to the dells. Now he heals the land. If my people, look at these things that you've got to do. If my people, what do? You've got to be called. Are you all called? Amen. Will humble themselves. Don't wait for life to humble you. Choose humility. Humility is precious to God. Humility is not a destination you get to. It's a life's walk that you have to choose every day. You choose. I'm not going to be the loudest, and I'm not going to be the one that wins every argument. I'm not going to be the one that has to talk first. I'm not going to be the one. No, you just choose humility. And it's just a work that you do all through your life. If we will humble ourselves, make humility a cry of your heart, and pray and seek his face and turn from your wicked ways, then he will do three things. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive your sin. And I will heal your land. What an incredible statement from God. And he's coming to the dells. He wants the dells. He wants the craziest, funniest people that you can show him. He knows them already. He's already got this town, this city in his hand. He loves this city. He loves your people. He wants the mayor. He wants the city council. He wants the police force and the fire department and the doctors and the lawyers and the school teachers and the wage earners. He wants you all. He wants that fire to touch the whole land. That's what this is all about. Hallelujah. Yes, he wants us to be his priests, but he wants you, all you young people in your schools, he wants your school. He wants your teacher. Hallelujah. He wants you to be set on fire. Yeah. He wants you. And it's not some grand thing for the old people to understand. It's for you and I to understand. From the youngest to the oldest, he wants you. He wants your heart. He wants you to burn for Him. Hallelujah. And the way that you get there is through offering more and build a bigger space. And you offer more and you build a bigger... We don't offer and then get comfortable in that, because we do. We say, oh, I'll do my half hour or my hour prayer time in the morning and I'm comfortable with that. That's the time I've got. No, you turn prayer into all day. So life shouldn't interrupt your prayer. Life doesn't interrupt prayer. We put prayer into all of life. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter if you're driving your car, you will find yourself speaking in tongues and praying to God. Vacuuming the floor, find yourself speaking in tongues. I hum and sing in tongues in the tune of the vacuum cleaner. Because, you know, so then you make a song out of hallelujah. You're doing the dishes. You're walking the dog. You turn life into prayer. The way you treat people is prayer. The way you talk to the shopkeepers and at the bank, it's prayer. And so now all of life is there. Okay, is it time to finish? Let's go to the next one. We're nearly finished. If the richest and the wisest man in history extended the altar of his heart, what would happen in this church if you all did the same? That's the question God put to me last night. What would happen in this church if you all did what Solomon did? Hallelujah. You would touch your city. You would touch your state. You would touch the nation. Imagine, right now the whole country is looking at Oregon, mainly Portland, for particular reasons that you know well. But imagine if they looked at Oregon because revival came. And imagine if revival came in a city called the Dalles that most Americans have never heard of. When I tell people I'm going to the Dalles, they look at me like, do you mean Dallas? Or, you know, they've never heard of the Dalles. They don't know how beautiful it is along that gorge and in the Columbia River. Hallelujah. But imagine if revival came out of the Dalles. Imagine revival coming from Oregon. It can happen. It can happen. All it takes is for these steps, these seven steps. You build a bigger place. You make a bigger offering. You build a bigger space. You make a bigger offering. You build a bigger space. And he's talking about the offerings of your heart. Hallelujah. And when that happens, you're going to see the fire fall. Praise God. Let's just do the world is yet to see the impact of a truly holy church. We haven't seen it yet, not fully. You have the next one? Faith makes you a Christian. Trials confirm you a Christian. Life proves you a Christian. And death crowns you a Christian. Hallelujah. Faith makes you a Christian. Trials confirm whether you're a Christian or not, the way you walk through them. Life proves that, yes, you're a Christian. But death crowns you a Christian. And we're talking about death to self. There's a crown that comes from dying to self. And so I call you, my friends, my Oregon family, I call you to this. Hallelujah. I call you to this. It will take all of your life to do it. It'll be costly to have this. But this is what God wants. This is where the church is heading. And you can stay if you want. God will let you stay in your comfortable place. And history and the Bible is full of people staying in their comfortable place. When the glory came to Moses, Moses had gone out into the tent to be with God and to see his glory and to break in upon God. And it says the people rose up in their tent door and they worshipped in their tent door. The tent is the place of comfortable, of being comfortable. They stayed in their house, in their home where it was comfortable. And they watched as Moses went out. All of the congregation of Israel was invited to go out to have a glory encounter. It was one of the most incredible glory encounters in the whole Bible when Moses came before God and God covered the whole of the rock and he walked past it and told Moses his name. He said, I'm the Lord God, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. He walked up and down and he told Moses who he was. And when he finished, Moses' face shone with beams of light coming out of his face. And he didn't age from that day on. Isn't that incredible? Imagine not aging. That would be good. Maybe we could go backwards a little bit. I'd like to go backwards a little bit. But everybody was invited to that glory encounter. And only one man went out. Don't wait for your pastor to go and be the only one that goes. This that God is bringing, this glory, is for the whole house. Not just this whole house, but the whole church. For all the church. And around the country, there's different places where revival has been breaking out and people come in the droves. And you know, so often when God moves in revival, it's out of the way places. Remember that revival that was at that college and somewhere in Kentucky or somewhere that nobody could get to? And they came in their droves. And Pensacola, Florida, and just different places where God has sent revivals. It's so often in out-of-the-way places. My life was impacted by a revival in Saskatchewan, Canada in 1948. Who's ever heard of going to Saskatchewan, Canada? And they came from all over the world in 1948 when you could hardly do air travel and everything. And New Zealanders went there and our lives back in New Zealand were impacted. I wasn't born in 1948, just letting you know. It was a few years after that, but the church in New Zealand was affected by that revival. And imagine something like that starting in the Dells. An out-of-the-way place. Hallelujah. So the world has yet to see the impact of a truly holy church. Hallelujah. And I call you to this holiness. I call you to this, that you would give your hearts to God. Hallelujah. So what time do you normally finish church? About, okay, so let's just take the next 10 minutes. And I want you all to make an altar. You can stay in your seats if you want to, or you can come up here. Sometimes moving, if you're able to get up and come, if you're elderly, just stay where you are. But if you're able to get up and come, you're coming and saying, Father, I'm going to start and be like Solomon. I'm going to be like Solomon. I'm going to come. I'm going to build an altar. So you come and what you do is you say, Father, I want to build an altar. He made a physical, you can start coming. He made a physical altar, but you're making spiritual altars. You're saying, Father, if you could put up that one slide, can you put up the slide that has the prayer from Psalm 5 about the fire falling on the pieces of my heart? If you could just leave that one up. And you can just keep reading that. And so even if you're a young person, read this in the Passion Translation. No, it's not that one. It's Psalm 5. There, that one. At each and every sunrise, you will hear my voice as I prepare my sacrifice of prayer to you. Every morning, I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar. Yes, thank you, Diane. If you could play, that would be beautiful. And I wait for your fire to fall upon my heart. And that fire might come like a burning. It might come like a passion. It might come when you're in the shower. It might come when you're going to school. When I was young, when I was your age, I got saved, probably a little older than you. And I used to get beaten for being a Christian. But I had to bike to school and I stopped at a little church, an Anglican church. And they had a stained glass window that says, go into all the world. And God burned into my heart that I was going to go into the world, and I didn't know what that meant. I was only allowed the Bible for 5 minutes a day, because Presbyterians only need the Bible 5 minutes a day, otherwise they go cuckoo. That's what they thought. So I was allowed the Bible for 5 minutes. But I turned my life into prayer. I had to learn how to have an inner sanctuary. And I turned my heart into an altar. So you turn your heart into an altar. That means your passions are not video games or all the other things that we make our passion. Yes, you can love those things. You can love sports. God loves you to love things and life. But the main thing in your life is that you are an altar for the fire to come. Hallelujah. Let him tell you what you have to do. Let him tell you what you have to do.
each and every sunrise, Lord. May you hear our voice as we prepare our sacrifice of prayer to you. Lord, we pray every morning that we would come. Help us to come, Lord, to make the time and lay out the pieces of our life on the altar and wait for your fire to fall upon our hearts. Wait for the fire to fall upon our hearts. That phrase is getting me this morning. Just to wait for the fire of God to fall upon our hearts. Lord, forgive us for our busyness. Forgive us for our prayerlessness. And Lord, teach us to come and wait until the fire of God falls upon our heart. The fire that burns out all the dross, all the sin, all the ugliness. The fire that stirs up fresh passion for you and for your word. Let the word of God be like fire shut up in our bones. Lord, we don't want to be lukewarm Christians. Lord, we want to be people who are set on fire. The fire of the Holy Spirit, our hearts set ablaze. A fire that cannot be contained, a fire that cannot be quenched. Hallelujah. God, we wait. Teach us to wait every day to come and sit in your presence. And let the glory of God fall upon us. The fire of God, the passion of God. You know, there's so much that goes on. There's so much anxiety, so much fear, so much worry. But I feel like God just saying, speaking in my heart right now, if we just take that time to wait on Him, that'll be the time He will come and He will bring comfort to our heart. He'll bring peace to our souls. He'll bring wisdom. He'll bring answers. He'll bring solutions to the problems. He'll bring grace for the trials. It's in the waiting. It's in the waiting. God, teach us to wait. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you need to go, if you need to pick up your kids, I don't want to keep you here. I want you to feel free to be released. But those that want to just continue to wait in God's presence, do so. Lord, let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall. Hallelujah. In the waiting, let the fire of God fall in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall. Let the fire fall, Jesus. Let the fire fall, oh God. Let the fire fall. Let your fire fall. Wait upon you, O God. Wait upon you. Let your fire fall. Let your fire fall, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, melt our hearts, fill our hearts, Lord. Lord, we wait upon you, Lord. wait upon you, God. Wait upon you, Jesus. Come and burn. Come and burn. Come and burn in our hearts, Lord. Let your fire fall. As we wait upon you, oh God. Come and burn, come and burn, oh God. Come and burn, burn in our hearts, Lord. Let your fire fall, Jesus. Let your fire fall, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your fire fall. Let the fire of God fall. Let the fire of God fall. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.